Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Will you open up your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 8? Psalm chapter 8, we are in a series right now about the supernatural, okay? And now don't get all super weird on me and think that I'm going to be really weird and crazy and strange, because I promise you I'm not going to. Because the whole purpose of this whole series really is to understand and embrace the power and the gifts of the Spirit, but also demystify what has been known as the spiritual and supernatural realm. It is a very actual practical thing that we all should be living in on a daily basis. If you call on the name of the Lord, if Jesus is your Savior, if you have been born again, that in of itself is supernatural, because you did not get reborn in the natural, you got reborn in the Spirit, which means that you are supernatural because it supersedes anything that is natural. And last week we talked about the armor of God and understanding some of the practicality of the armor of God, along with some other things inside of the supernatural. And I want to continue in this series. We got a few more weeks left in it. As a matter of fact, next week I'm going to be, if time allows, I'm really going to talk on the gifts of the Spirit, what they are, and how to recognize them possibly in your own life, and how to flow in those things. The week after that, Pastor Joshua, my elder brother, who is also the lead pastor of our Panama City campus, he's going to be with us preaching on demystifying the prophetic and understanding that the prophetic is not some crystal ball, and it's also not something that you can use and weaponize to predict the future that you want. Thank you for the overwhelming response this morning. The church and prophetic movement at large has missed it and messed up prophetic so long that people no longer want to be associated with prophetic, because prophetic is really now just means political. And if you are being political through your prophecy, you are not being prophetic at all. The prophetic is for exhortation, edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the prophetic. It's the testimony of Jesus. Is a spirit of prophecy. I'm not going to preach on that. I'm going to let Pastor Joshua preach on that. He's so that you know that I'm not the only one who understands that this stuff that is being propagated and said from pulpits should stop. And anybody that is saying prophetic words that are not in alignment with the Word of God need to just be quiet for a little bit and go back to the Word of God and restudy what the Word of God actually says about the prophetic. Well, praise God. Selah for that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Today, let's talk about... All right, I said that. Let's talk about this now. This is what I want to talk about today, though. I want to talk about praise. I want to talk about the power of praise and what it means for us in the natural, and what it means for us in the supernatural. Once again, whenever you get saved, there's a supernatural thing that happens that begins to change your natural. Can I say that even is the same with praise? Whenever you begin to take things to the spirit realms in praise, it will begin to affect the natural. In other words, when the tormenting mind thoughts begin to come and they're creeping away at you, and they're biting away at you, and they're nipping at you, and you hear these words of torment and lies and accusation from the enemy, when you hear all these things, and then you start finding yourself in a very anxious space, and then you start finding yourself, I don't know if anybody else has ever been like this, but you hear all these things, and then from that anxious space, you start lashing out at people, you stop sleeping well, and all these other things start associating with it. What happened was, there was something going on in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural realm, that started affecting your natural. But can I tell you, you've got a great course corrector, and you've got a great chain breaker, and it's found inside the words and the lifestyle of praise. Amen? I'm going to show you that in the Bible this morning. I'm going to show you that in the Bible, if that's okay with you. We use that around here. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2 says this: out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And it's not talking about the avengers, okay? It's talking about the avenger, talking about the enemy here. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Now, your Bible, if you have another translation, I believe the NIV and a couple other translations translates that word to praise. When you actually read your Bible and you look at the New Testament, whenever Jesus quotes this, Jesus actually is on the triumphal entry, and he's walking... he's riding the donkey and so on and so forth. They're yelling. There's kids praising. The Pharisees and other people are getting frustrated with him. Like, dude, what in the world? They're so stinking loud. They're being annoying. And Jesus turns to them, looks up, and says, have you not read? It is written that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, that you have ordained, that God has ordained praise because of your enemies. So the scripture there should actually, a greater translation of that would be understanding that really what the scripture is talking about is God has given to you, ordained, he from the beginning of time, he had already ordained a weapon for you, and it is the weapon of praise that he has given to you for you to silence the foe, which means the enemy, to shut him up, to make him be quiet, and to still him, to paralyze him. Listen, we are tombstone pile driving the devil right whenever we begin to praise and we begin to worship the name of Jesus, because the enemy cannot stand hearing the continued vocalizing of a victorious warrior who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So what you're doing in that moment is the enemy is so frustrated because he's trying to get all these plots and he's got all these plans and he's got all these things and he's got all these temptations and he's got all of these different things that he's trying to get you to trip, fall, and do everything you're not supposed to do. But whenever you begin to put your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, whenever you begin to praise and worship the name of the Lord, man, you realize that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and are safe. Whenever you begin to say, oh, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me, and I'll forget not his benefit and how he brought me out of some things and how he heals me, how he saved me, how he restored me. The enemy cannot stand hearing that he's already lost. And that's the beautiful, I'm going to flip a table in this room. That's the beautiful thing about whenever you praise, you get to remind the devil that he has already lost. He's reminding you of your past, but you get to remind him of his future. Give God a shout. Hey! There's a great, if you ever listened to Carmen growing up, anybody ever listen to Carmen? There's a great line, I think it's in Revival of the Land, Revival in the Land, where he says, they're reminding you, he's reminding you of your past, but you remind him of your future. And place goes crazy. Man, I'm telling you, praise is that weapon. It is the vehicle of reminding the devil, ha ha, you lost. You're a loser. You always will be a loser. You're always going to lose. Thanks be unto God who always calls. And when I put my mind and my focus on Jesus, all these other things begin to fade away. It's like wax that begins to melt. The mouth of the enemy and the accuser of the brethren is silenced whenever I begin to shout the praises of the Most High God. Amen. I hope you came ready to receive something this morning, because I came ready to preach something. I came ready to preach something. Psalm 150, let's turn there. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6 says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Let's keep going, screen. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Which means this. If you got breath in your lungs, you got to praise to let out. And guess what? This scripture is not just a suggestion. It's a commandment for us to praise the Lord according to his mighty acts. How many know God's done some mighty acts? He's done some mighty things in your life. Listen, if you ain't got nothing else to thank God about, you can thank God on this one thing, that I once was in darkness. I once was lost. I once was in depression. I was once going to hell, but Jesus reached out and he took me out of the pit and put me on the rock, and now I have light. Now I have life, and I have Jesus, which is more than enough. It's more than I ever need. He is everything for me. You've got something to praise for. There's always something to praise. There's always a reason to praise. I don't care what's happening. I don't care if Aunt Fuddy Duddy said you were the dumbest person on earth. There is still a reason to praise. I don't care if you've been arguing in your marriage. There is still a reason to praise. I don't care if your kids were cussing right before they walked in this room. There is still a reason to praise. I don't care. And as a matter of fact, if you've got some demonic influence going on in your house, there is definitely a reason to praise. You better go around and start praising the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. I came to preach today. I'm telling you, first service, they weren't getting it. Y'all get it right now, okay? I don't know. First service needs to go back and listen to this one, I think. And the people that are hearing both, y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, there's a stirring that's happening within this service right now. There's a stirring that's deep calling unto deep. It is calling you to a new realm. It's calling you to a new place. Come on. Let's keep going. Now, this is the thing. Praises come from everyone, but you got to praise with understanding. It's not enough to... There's got to be an understanding and a revelation of what you're doing, okay? And that's what I want to help you with today. I want to help you understand what this means. I want to help you understand what this means. I want to help you understand what it means whenever we shout unto the Lord. I want to help you understand what it means when you sing unto the Lord. I want to help you understand what it means when you lift your hands. Now, I will say this. There is a difference between praise and worship, okay? Praise is a weapon. Worship is a surrender. It is something we do to extol the mighty name of Jesus, to surrender everything to Him. Praise now is though something that comes from you as a mighty weapon. The Bible says this, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword within their hand to execute vengeance that is already upon them. You are literally, from the weapon of praise, you are executing vengeance upon the enemy. You are stomping a mud hole right in the devil's face every time you praise and you worship the name of the Lord. It is something that you should do. We don't have the name High Praise because we're quiet. We don't have the name High Praise because we're like, oh, this is patty cake time. No, we have the name High Praise because that is what is going on inside of us and not what will come from us, okay? I've given you some DNA understanding here this morning. Amen. Praise from a place of understanding. Praise in a bad day, praise in a good day. Amen. Show up, praise anyways. Praise at home, praise in the car, praise in the church, praise everywhere you go. Now, please understand, Psalm 34:1 does say this, I'll bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Or on my lips, according to which translation you have. Now, I also realize the practicality of that. I do believe that we should be praising all the time. But I also understand if you work at a call center, you can't answer the phone and say, hello, thank you for calling Walmart. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet. My God is alive. Like, you can't do that, obviously. But you can let your lifestyle be a lifestyle of praise. You can let your heart posture and everything that you do be praising the Lord. Let everything that you do be something that brings a glory to the name of the Lord Most High. That can be what you can do. Listen, praise can be like a muscle memory. Tough time, praise. Mountain, praise. Valley, praise. Shackled, praise. Free, praise. No matter what you're going through, you can begin to initiate that praise. And you praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Listen to me. Your level of praise will directly express how great you truly believe God is. Praise Him in accordance to His mighty acts. You believe God's great, you will let out a great praise. You believe God's mid, you'll let out a mid praise. Your level of praise will be a mirror of what you believe, how great you believe God is. Y'all go, Pastor Micah, you act crazy sometimes. You're absolutely right, because I just know that God was crazy for loving me so much, and God was kind of crazy in some ways for actually going to war for me and for fighting for me. It was kind of a crazy thing, and I know that He's done some mighty things and delivered me out of some things, and so I believe that God is worthy of a crazy praise. Amen? Yeah. Now, what happens if we don't praise? He's still worthy, but we forget the power and the benefits. How many of you went to school? There's a couple people didn't raise their hand. Well, how do you have a job right now? Maybe you don't. I went to school once. And there are things in school that I don't remember. Anybody else know what I'm talking about in this room? Anybody remember? Well, you're probably smart. Anybody know trigonometry really well? Hey, I don't feel so bad. I'm in good company. Anybody really good at calculus? No. You want to know why? No one in this room is using calculus often or trigonometry. And I'm not trying to give the kids just another leg to stand on. I go, why do I have to go to school? I'm never going to need this. I get it, okay? I was there once. There are things that I'm like, why? I literally will never use this. Now, for my family, I was homeschooled for most of my academic career. We said, if you don't have that with the homeschooling co-op that I did, it was through a Christian high school thing. You didn't have to take calculus and trig, so my parents put me in business math. And I'm thankful they did, because you know what? I use business math as a pastor. I will never use trig, or I will never use calculus as a pastor. But I say that to say this. What I stopped using, I don't remember. Because what you don't use, you lose.
Right.
You forget about these things. That's why the psalmist says this in Psalm 103:5, 1 and 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Notice here, the psalmist is directly tying not forgetting his benefits with blessing the name of the Lord. And then it goes on to talk about who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, okay? Listen to me. If you want to remember the benefits that God has for you, if you want to remember what he has done and is doing for you, let me encourage you to begin to praise the name of the Lord with theological songs of worship and praise. And I'm going to put emphasis on theological songs of worship and praise, because in the Christian industry, this is just a fact, we have many songs that probably should be more so on country radio than Christian radio.
Yeah.
Come on. It's true. Oh, my life's not going so good. Didn't know this is the way that it would be. But now I find myself looking at a tree. Like, what? What are you even saying right now? In no way is that worship or praise in the name of the Lord. Like, we make, I got a lot to say over the next few minutes, so if you think that's bad, just wait. I got a lot to say. We have got to be people that are singing songs in accordance to Scripture. Singing songs in accordance to the word. The bottom line is this: when we're singing songs of praise, what we are doing is we are putting melody or putting sound to Scripture. That's what praise and what worship should come from. Sound to Scripture. Okay? That's what we're doing. So there should be a direct tie to Scripture whenever we are declaring worship songs or praise songs. In order to remain strong in praise, you got to keep on praising. Amen? Now, I want to show you real quickly, because I said that we need ways of understanding praise and the ways to praise with understanding. And I found this the other day. If we put that screen up on the ways to praise in accordance to Scripture, or ways to worship in accordance to Scripture, here we go. Bible-approved ways to worship at church. Number one, clap your hands. You can find that in Psalm 47:1. Number two, you can shout for joy. That's Psalm 33:3. Hey, you can dance. Psalm 149:3. You can bow down, which is Psalm 95:6. Lift up your hands. Psalm 134:2. Psalm 63:4. Sing to the Lord. Psalm 96:1. Stare at the worship leader. Not in the Bible. Last time I checked, I can't find that one in Scripture. But it seems to be really prevalent in churches. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response this morning. The amount of people that stand and stare and wait for a good show.
Right.
Wait for the spiny experience. Ooh, I like that. I like that little run Pastor Chelsea just did. Now I can worship. No, that's not in accordance to Scripture. In nowhere will you find in the Bible that says stare at the one who's leading worship.
Come on.
That is 1 Thessalonians 3:6. Like, it is not in the Word of God. All these other ways, yes, They're accordance to the word of God. You can do all these things. But staring and just standing and waiting for the best performance. Listen, we are not some free concert. This is a house of worship and a house of praise. And I'm not turning into a den of thieves. We are not up here putting on a performance. We are here helping lead people into worship and lead people into the throne and lead people in praise. Just as Jehoshaphat's army went out on the front line and began to lead people into battle through praise, that's what we're doing whenever we're starting worship in this room and we're singing songs of praise, is that the minstrels are at the front and going before you and saying, listen, we are going and we're speaking confusion to the camp of the enemy. Why don't you come along with us and we're going to see a victory in your situation and your circumstance. Amen. We're not spiritual zombies. Right. We're not, get out of here with that mess. We're not just, we're not just doing motions for emotions.
Right.
We are being convicted of what the word of God says and what our praise has the power to do. God didn't ordain praise so you can get pruny in the presence of the Lord and just soak forever. God ordained praise so that you can have a weapon to fight with. Now, I believe in moments of worship where the Spirit of God is poured out and there's a tangible presence of the Lord and people just receive of the Spirit of God and receive of His presence in those moments. But can I tell you, that's worship. Praise is the moments whenever we are going and we are fighting the good fight of faith through the sounds of praise that comes from our mouths. Amen? He didn't ordain praise so you can have some soulish excitement. Man, if that's the case, it'd be like giving us a weapon just to have the rush of just holding the weapon. God doesn't want you to just feel the rush. He wants you to have a weapon and use it. Amen? Now let's look at this part of the text, and you'll stay with me for a little bit longer. I promise you're not going to keep it too much longer today. I don't promise that. Take that back. I redact that promise. Redact that from the record, please. Well, another way to praise the Lord that's not listed on that is that we can praise Him with instruments, which is what we do. Psalm 150 says that as well. Says praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the lute and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes, praise Him with loud cymbals, and praise Him with clashing cymbals. The psalmist here says, hey, praise Him and praise Him loud. Like, let somebody know you're praising God. Now, I strongly doubt what I know of David, who wrote most of Psalms. He was a boisterous praiser. The Bible says at one point in time, he literally dances his kingly robes off. It would take a lot for me to dance my clothes off, okay? And I'm not going to. Etch a sketch, just shake your head. Nope, I don't want to see that, right? Hey, this is not the place, young lady. As you know, we believe in healthy marriages in this church and building families. Amen. I messed up my mind. I got to get back on focus here. Oh, yes, I went there. That's right. Dance my kingly robes off, right? It would take a lot for me to dance my kingly robes off. That would be some aggressive praise. I mean, y'all ever seen... y'all ever watched any videos of... There's this thing at... What was a big craze at one point in time. It's not as big as what it used to be. Emo music. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay. So there's some of you are really excited about that. There's this thing called emo music. And they do this in heavy metal too. And they have this, what they call a pit at these shows. They don't call concerts when it's emo stuff. It's shows. You can't call it a concert. How dare you? And there's this thing that happens in these pits. And it's a form of dance. Called moshing. Moshing is nothing more than just like throwing punches, kicking, all kind of things, and just hoping you don't get hit. I don't understand it. I never have. I never will, okay? I say that to say this. I have seen some violent moshers through videos, and never have I seen them dance their clothes off. I say all that to say, once again, I'm bringing into light here, David was a pretty aggressive, boisterous person to praise. Man, I want to Some of y'all are like, man, I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart. But then worship starts and you're like, man, that Davidic anointing is all over you. Man, David danced with all his might. Everything that was within him, he danced. He wasn't afraid of who was looking at him, what people thought about him, or any of those things. He just danced before the Lord. But David, I strongly doubt when David's writing this, he's like, hey guys, we're going to praise, but we're going to do it like soft voice. Like, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Like, That's not the picture I have of David singing. I have a picture of David. I mean, I'm not even going to yell it because I'll hurt your ears, but I'm not talking about yelling praise and worship to the Lord. Being outwardly expressive of something that's already happened inwardly. Being radical in his praise. You know, I don't think David was like, hey, guys, we can only play the harp and loud cymbals at 60 dB or lower. We run at about 85, 90 in here generally, which, by the way, is quieter than a lot of large churches that many people would love to go visit, like Elevation and others. Elevation peaks at 110, 115. They live around 100 or 100 plus. And I know this because we've done a lot of study on our sound and trying to hone it in and get it to a comfortable place in this room, because we realize that this room and the acoustics in it is not the most fun to your ears. And we do our best to keep that into consideration. But we also realize that, listen, we're going to be loud about God. We're going to be loud about praising the Lord. Like, we're not going to be quiet about it and have a patty cake praise. Like, we're actually going to really praise and worship the name of the Lord in the way that he is, the way that we should praise the Lord in accordance to Scripture here. Praise him with loud cymbals. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hands. Listen, it's okay to be loud about praise. I'm going to say that again because some of y'all need to actually come into agreement with that for a second so you actually realize this, that it's okay to be loud in praise. We go, we'll pay $100, $150 for a concert ticket and never leave when it gets loud. I joked about it in first service. You know, Andy, I think that might be a good time to start charging for tickets to get into church. We might keep people in the room a little longer. I'm just playing, guys. That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever said. I'll never say it again. But I will say, it's amazing to me, though, that people will pay for concert tickets. You know, Pastor Chelsea and I, we've done it. We've went to a couple of concerts on date nights and things like that. We haven't paid that amount, but we went to some concerts and had a really good time together, you know, in our marriage, and just enjoying being at a fun event to go to and enjoying music, because I am, at my heart, I'm a musician through and through. I play keys and I play drums, drums being my number one instrument. But never did I ever think about leaving. And I'm talking about the DB was reading 115 and staying at 115. And I never even thought about leaving. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, obviously, some of us, we want to wear ear protection. That's good. That's awesome. You protect your hearing. Do what you need to do. But at the same time, concerts can be loud and we have no issue. But whenever the worship gets a little bit loud, all of a sudden, we feel entitled to go to the sound person. Like, hey, could you just bring it down just a little bit? Would you ever do that at a concert? No. You go to a football game and the band starts playing the best song ever. Oh, we stink. Oh, like they start playing that loud and bold and nobody leaves. As a matter of fact, everybody starts screaming it at the top of their lungs in that stadium. Me being included. Even though we're terrible. No problem with that. Stadiums can be loud, concerts can be loud, theme parks can be loud. We don't have an issue with that. But the church gets loud and we go, you need to tone it down a little bit. You're just acting a little bit out. That's just too radical. That's too crazy. You're just being a little bit too loud about Jesus. Well, I think we should be louder about Jesus. I think that we should live our lives. We should live our lives loud. Once again, praise is a lifestyle that we can live, and we should live loudly for the things of the Lord and let our lives be praised to him. Amen? Amen. I want the church to be louder for God than the world is for performers. Some of us got no problem singing to our favorite artist, but in church, we don't move our mouth. Bless the Lord. Some of y'all got no problem breaking it down in the kitchen while cooking, but can't clap during praise. Do you remember the 20th of September? Da, 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 da. Pray the Lord, oh my soul. What's the song? The joy song. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my... You are really convincing. I can't even keep doing it. I'm going to start laughing. Like, you got no problem dancing, acting fool for these songs that you like. Can I put something out there real quickly? Could it be that the reason is that you are addicted to experience, not presence? You are addicted to the spiny feeling. Ooh. Listen, I get oohs when I listen to some songs on the radio. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I just did it. Yeah. September, we go, ooh, I like that song. Okay, let's go faster. Some of y'all at a wedding and the cha-cha slide comes on, you're like, two hops this time. Two hops this time. Cha-cha real smooth. Go to work. Like, like, you know what? In our household, we turn on the cha-cha slide almost every other night. Our middle son loves the cha-cha slide. I got no problem with it. Well, I'm in their I'm cooking in the kitchen because I cook and I clean and I got this ring. But anyways, I cook in the kitchen and I cook in the kitchen and Giddy about, could you do cha-cha slide? I'm like, let's go. I'm ready for it. And I get excited to do it, like, because it's fun. I enjoy that. It's a good time. I do enjoy that experience with my kids to have those moments of fun and memories of fun.
Right.
Yep. Nothing wrong with those things.
Right.
Go to a wedding and our favorite song comes on and we get that same exact feeling that we get whenever the song that we like in church comes on. Because we have become addicted to our preferences, not, and even to performances. Whenever the vocalist can hit that run, or whenever Brad hits that sweet guitar line that sounds like Sweet Child of Mine or something, like, ooh, that was good, you know. Or we start hearing, Eli or Michael, whoever's playing drums, man, just killing it back there, crushing it, which all these people do every single week. They do a phenomenal job, but it's not about performance.
Right.
But the problem is we have built churches that are addicted to performance. And if everything is perfect and if the team performs just right, then I will feel the presence. No, the presence is here.
Yes.
And your praise will be the thing that opens the door for you to step into the presence of the Holy of Holies, to step into the presence of the Lord. And this is why, once again, come back to this. We have got to be people that are singing songs that are theologically sound and aren't just about what we're going through or we, but rather let's worship Him. Let's lift high the name of Jesus. Let's praise God for what He has done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Let's declare what He's about to do on our behalf in accordance to Scripture. These are songs of praises. This is the bottom line. God dwells in the praises of His people, not the preferences of His people.
Amen.
Psalm 22:3 says this, yet I know that you are most holy, it's undisputable. You're God enthroned, surrounded with songs, living among the shouts of praise of your princely people. This scripture is telling us that God dwells or shows up in the presence of, in the praises of His people. In other words, presence comes down as praises go up. Okay? Not when your preference is served up on a platter for you, does God show up there? No. God shows up whenever you begin to praise, even in accordance to songs that you may not even love.
Yeah.
Even whenever songs like, I don't like this song that much, but God's good.
Man.
Like, I'll praise.
Yeah.
This isn't my favorite song, but I'll praise anyways, you know?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to balance it with this. Let me say this real quickly, because I do think this is important. There is a need for excellence and a need for a worship team that I can actually play their instruments and sing songs in the key that they're designed to sing in. Like, that's definitely something. It says that David played skillfully on the harp. Okay? Anointing is not found in the chords that do not match together or in the keys that everybody's playing. Listen, we're a prophetic church, but we're not that kind of prophetic church. It's like, everybody just play whatever you want for a little bit. We'll all fit in together at some point in time, sing whatever you want. No, there's still glory follows order, which we're going to talk about in the weeks to come. That the glory of God is always poured out where there's order manifested. Okay? He dwells in the praise of his people, and we're going to sing songs skillfully unto the Lord. We're going to sing, and that'll kind of transition to this. That these are, I was kind of trying to go over two ways that maybe we don't praise, and one of them was because you just weren't feeling the worship set list today, which if we're honest, that is some of us in this room that we do that. We are driven by our preferences and whether we're going to praise or not. And number two is this, you're embarrassed of your singing voice. Some of you are like, yeah, Pastor, I am. I'm very embarrassed of my singing voice. Not when on a cruise, though, and there's karaoke going on. Then I can sing. Not whenever I went to Applebee's and been sitting there and they got the karaoke machine out, and I'll go out and embarrass myself then and sing. Listen, you're not embarrassed of your singing voice. You just really don't want to press in. Well, praise God. Moses sang. Miriam sang. Jesus sang. All these people you can find in the Bible, then the early church begins to sing. Then you sing, you find songs all throughout Scripture. David sang. Singing was a vehicle to praise the name of the Lord. And it still is. And God's not looking for performance. He's looking for worshipers to arise in spirit and in truth that worship in accordance to the word. And the fact is, the lie of the enemy is that you're embarrassed of your singing voice. Now, I'm not saying you're a great singer. I heard some of you, okay? No, I was playing. There's some of you, we're not going to give you a microphone. Hate to break it to you. We're not. Not going to happen. We do believe in singing skillfully unto the Lord. Singing in tune. But what I am saying is this. The enemy will lie to you and tell you that you ain't got a good voice. You don't need to lift your voice and sing. That's a lie from the enemy. You need to sing. You need to lift your voice. You need to declare God's goodness. And you need to declare praise unto the Lord. Amen. Y'all still with me this morning? I promise you I'm coming to a close. Bottom line is the Bible tells us that we ought to praise. So let's do just that. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. He's telling us that we need to praise in accordance to Scripture. God didn't ordain praise because he needs your stamp of approval on his job performance in your life. He's not like, man, I hope they think I'm doing okay. No, God like is God either way. He is the I am. He is everything. Like, he doesn't need your stamp of approval, but you need to praise so that you can use it as a weapon against the enemy. Praise is a spiritual, supernatural weapon. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The pulling down of strongholds, okay? Praise helps pull down strongholds. As you praise, the voice of the lies of the enemy that's been in your life, man, they have to shut up. My dad always taught me this, I've done this with my own kids, and we taught kids church for many, many years, Pastor Chelsea and I. We taught kids church for a decade, and then inside that same decade we taught youth for like 6 or 7 years as well, and then we started serving as associate pastors in our Panama City campus as well for a few years towards the end of us being there and moving here to Crestview. But we did this with our kids' church, and I did do this with my own biological children. If you see them down here in the front, they're generally, for the most part, they're not perfect kids, but for the most part, they are kids that really do praise the Lord. They really do press in. Sometimes dad has to remind them. But listen, that's a part of teaching and training. You teach and train your kid to be a good football player, but you don't teach and train them to actually worship in times of worship and praise in times of praise. Man, that's a problem. It's a parenting problem. I'm just going to let you know that's an issue. You need to get some things in order in your parenting and make sure that your children are following the Lord all the days of their life. It's a stranger's voice they won't follow. Amen. Now, let's talk about this for a second, though. My dad taught me like this. That's where I want to show you that there is power in the natural things that you do, okay? Everybody's heard Andy Pate clap. It's loud. I picked on him first service, too, for fun. But Andy's got, I mean, he's got that thunder clap. Hey, like, I mean, he goes, okay? No, please. Save our ears, Andy. My dad always taught me this. Son, in times of praise, take one hand. All right? That's the devil. Hello, Mr. Devil. Like, that's the devil right here. And now what you get the opportunity to do in your praise, you take your other hand. Now, my dad didn't raise me to fight. I've never been in a fight, and by the grace of God, I never will be in a fight, bless the Lord. I fight not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. I don't fight against people. I fight against powers. I'm a lover, not a fighter, and I will talk my way out of something, and we will bring down the situation. We will de-escalate, okay? We are not going to fight. I do not want to get punched. Now, don't underestimate me because I'll take you down. Tiger claws. Okay, anyways. Anyways, take one hand. It's the devil. Now take your other hand. And every time you clap, you get to slap the devil in the face. You got to beat up the devil. Every time you clap, it's like punching the devil. It's like slapping the devil over and over again. Anybody ever seen the movie Major Payne? I brought this up before. Major Payne. There's a great scene in that movie. He's standing in the drill sergeant line or whatever. And he's like, don't you ever do that again. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? Yeah. Like, listen. Here's the devil. Don't you ever mess with me again. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? You actually have the power of praise found in just clapping your hands. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph is what the scripture says. That's what the Bible says. So when you clap, man, you're doing punishment upon the enemy. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 4, you will leap like calves released from the stall. And it goes on to talk about in that text where it says, and the enemy will be made ashes underneath the soles of your feet. Whenever I leap and whenever I jump, whenever I dance, man, I'm telling you, every time my feet hit the ground, I envision whatever the shackle, whatever the stronghold, whatever that is that the enemy has been trying to attack me with, trying to chain me with, I envision spiritually that those things are being made ashes underneath the soles of my feet. It is more than just this. This is actually doing something when it comes with revelation knowledge of what's actually happening in the spiritual realms. Remember, I'm going to say this again. Revelation always precedes manifestation. So when you have revelation that whenever I'm doing this and we're singing songs of praise, now the manifestation can actually take place that whenever I leave, I make the enemy ashes underneath soles of my feet. Amen. Let's keep going. I got to bring this too close. Bottom line is praise will bring forth freedom. Paul and Silas, Joshua, and Jehoshaphat, all three of those are just a few examples of people that can attest to the mighty powers of praise that we have. And there might be some people in this room. Maybe you can testify of the power of praise. Well, I know that I can. So listen, you need freedom from the lies of the enemy, you begin to praise. You need the grip of the enemy to be loosened off your life, you begin to praise. You need the demonic influence to be released off of your family and off your family's life, you begin to praise and you begin to worship the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, things will begin to change. Just the bottom line, I said this towards the beginning, but when you praise, it reminds you that you have the victory and the devil that he has already defeated. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The key word there is not roaring lion. The key words there are like. Like a. It means he's fake. Phony. Like a. Fake and phony. What is God? He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the roaring lion of praise. So whenever we praise, he begins to roar on our behalf. Can I tell you that the enemy cannot devour you because he can never be what God is. He can only attempt and try to distort and contort and skew your view of what you, the power you that you believe he has. Like even in an old cartoon, whenever old cartoons, you'd see where a cat would stand in front of a light just right. It would look like something that it actually wasn't, and it would look like this big monster or something. That is the tactic of the enemy. The enemy has no power over the believer. I'm going to say that again. The enemy has no power over the believer. You have power over all the powers of darkness according to scripture, which means this. The enemy cannot consume you. He is trying to do these things, but the bottom line is whenever you begin to praise, the enemy is the one that is devoured, and the enemy is the one that is reminded that he's already lost. Listen, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So even whether it's something in the natural or if it's something in the supernatural, listen, there is something greater that is living within inside you, and sometimes you just got to let it out in the way of a praise. Amen? Yeah. Now, let's talk about this one more time. There's singing scripture. Melody with scripture is important. This is why. Bible says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Bible also says, that the voice of the Lord shatters the enemy. Whenever, what is the Bible? It is the Word of God. So whenever we sing songs of praise in accordance to Scripture, what is happening in the moment? We are, once again, putting melody to the Word of God, to God's Word. And now it is proceeding out of our mouths. And it is like that that begins to shatter the enemy, because the voice of the Lord shatters the enemy. So whenever I sing Scripture, it is shattering the enemy. I made this joke before and I'll make it again. I think the Lord wants us to give him a Waffle House praise. Waffle House praise. I want to order my devil just like I order my hash browns, okay? I order scattered, shattered, and battered. Like, that's the way I'm going to order my devil in praise. I'm going to shatter the lies of the enemy. I'm going to scatter those things all around where they can't be found and put back together. And I'm going to continue to beat and batter the enemy. I'm going to destroy the works of darkness through the sounds of my praise. As a matter of fact, whenever you study the Joshua, because I'll end with this, Mr. Allen can play. With Joshua, whenever you study him and the children of Israel going around the wall there, and then it says they lifted up a shout unto the Lord. The word shout there is the word ruah, which ruah means this. Are you ready? Ruah means to split the ears with sound or to damage, especially by breaking. Now, if you've been to our church for any amount of time, there are times that I'll say, hey, lift up a shout unto the Lord. Okay? I'm not saying lift up a shout unto the Lord because I want to hear you shout. I don't. I'm saying shout because it's a weapon that God's given to you. And I'm encouraging, use the weapon that God has placed within you. A ruah shout splits the ears and begins to break the powers of darkness in accordance to Scripture. This is what happens whenever we shout. It is, yes, something that is happening in the natural, but what we're doing in the natural is affecting the supernatural. It is superseding things in a moment, and anything that's been going on in the lives of the enemy. You know, I don't know about you. I watched some college football yesterday, and I was not able to shout often because Florida State's not good. We talked about this. However, I was able to shout when Alabama lost. Bless God. Ruah, right? Go Vandy. Anyways. But, you know, in 2013, when the Florida State Seminoles won the national championship, can I tell you, we beat Auburn, by the way. Any Auburn fans, I know there's one on camera right now. I look back there. We beat Auburn. I tell you, whenever we won, Pastor Chelsea, as my witness in the room, I shouted so loud. And I literally ran down my hallway. You might as well turn on praise break music, because I was going for it. I was so excited that we had won. I say that to say this. If we will shout, and some of y'all do the same thing, don't look at me in that tone of voice. If we will get so excited about a dude, a teenager taking a bag of wind over a line drawn in the grass to put, honestly, in some ways, imaginary points on a board for something. Because at the end of the day, it's a game. If we will scream, shout, hang, give high fives to people we have never met before. How much more should we be loud about the things of the Lord? How much more should we lift up shouts of victory to the Lord? How much more should we sing praises unto the Lord? How much more should we do that? Because this is your reminder that your shout is a reminder to the devil that he's lost. He's a defeated foe, and he will always be a defeated foe. And he will never have victory in any situation. I want to encourage our church that let's take praise to another level. Let's go to another level in our praise. Let's have this fresh revelation and understanding, but not let it... My prayer today is that this has been like if you were to be given a new weapon in the midst of warfare. My prayer is that you'll take that thing and you'll use it, not just look at it. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Lift your hands to the Lord if you will, please. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you right now. I thank you for a fresh revelation of the power of your Spirit living within us. The sound, and that the sound of our praise to you, Almighty God, you being lifted up and you inhabiting the praises of your people. Lord, then when your presence shows up, you begin to move. You begin to change things. You begin to break down principalities and powers. Lord, that there's a new understanding of the revelation that's found in our song, in our shout, that lifts high the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, right now, that we're taking the weapons of our spiritual warfare, that we're fighting a good fight with them, that we're not going to be lazy about these things, but rather, Lord, we're going to be active. We're going to be moving forward in purpose and destiny. Whenever we sing, whenever we shout, whenever we clap our hands, whenever we leap with joy amongst you, Father, I thank you, God, that you begin to move. You begin to do something fresh. You begin to go before us as a mighty man of war. You begin to tear down principalities and powers. You begin to wage war on every demonic principality and see those things torn down, because you go before us and you make a way where there was no way. You bring walls down. You bring confusion into the camp of the enemy, even as you did with Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat put the praisers on the front line, you brought confusion in the camp of the enemy. I thank you, Lord, right now, that whenever we begin to praise, confusion begins to erupt in the enemy's camp. And Lord, we have the ability to go and take back everything that's been stolen from us. So Father, I thank you right now. You are who you say you are. You are the roaring lion of Judah, and you will be enthroned on our praise. So God, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, and thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen and give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.